This is Kern State Weekend on WKAR. I'm Emmanuel Berry. On Saturday, Uli's House of Rock in Lansing will host legendary blues guitarist Donald Kinsey. The Gary, Indiana native has played and recorded with the likes of Albert King, Bob Marley and the Wailers, and Peter Tosh. Donald, welcome to Kern State Weekend.
All right. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm so glad to have you here. Unbelievably excited that you agreed to this. So I guess let's start out talking, I guess, a little bit about your family and blues in your family. So your father was legendary bluesman Lester Big Daddy Kinsey. So you grew up around music. What was it like for you as a child growing up in kind of the blues scene?
It was great. It was always uplifting for most of the part. My dad just really loved music, from gospel all the way to the blues. My dad's father, my granddad, he was a Pentecostal minister, and so it was kind of one of those things. My dad, he worked a job at one of the meal plants, but when it come Friday, my dad would always have a jam session at the house. He'd invite musicians, and they'd move all of the furniture back in the dining room, and that would become the stage, and it would just be one big party, man. And he used to always bring musicians in, man, and it was really something. And my mother, she loved the camera, man, and we always, with so many photo books of, just good times and playing. And my dad, man, it could be midnight or something like that during a weekday, and he would get up and start playing his guitar and turn on his reel-to-reel tape machine, and he'd wake me up and want to show me something on the guitar. It was really something. But by the time we was 8-9 years old, we was playing shows with my dad. We was playing Elf's largest social club.
What was that like, being a 9 and 10 year olds and being on stage and playing music?
It was crazy, girl. Gary, growing up in Gary, Indiana, especially back during that time, Gary was a very fast-paced, pretty exciting place, being right next door to Chicago. All of the Chicago musicians used to come over and play Gary. And, Gary had a lot of after-hour clubs and stuff like that. And I'm so thankful for my parents, because it was a big sacrifice for them to spend that kind of time and energy in my brothers and myself to learn music, because that was our school of music, I remember one time, I was playing pretty good, and so I was, everybody was playing Fender guitars, Gibson guitars, and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And my first electric guitar was a Domino guitar, and I had a little small K amp. And so I said to my dad, I want to get a Gibson, and I started complaining about my equipment. And we was playing some club, man, there, and he had some guy come in by the name of Trudy Austin. I never will forget it, man. And this guy Trudy, he grabbed my guitar and made something come out of that thing I had never heard before.
Taught you a lesson, right?
Yeah, it was like, shut up and play, boy. the equipment is one thing, but it's the person that's behind that equipment, man. That's what it's all about, And as a kid, these things don't really sit in until you get older,
yeah.
And you look back at it, my dad was just a music lover, man. I remember when he first took me to see Muddy Waters, and he got me backstage and introduced me to him and stuff, man. And I was like, wow, man, you know, Pine Top Perkins and Big Willie Smith, man. I was like, you know, and he introduced me. I met Jimmy Reed, man. I mean, I met, you know, Howlin' Wolf, you know, Hubert Sumlin, all these cats, man, you know. And then I started working with Albert King.
Yeah, your dad is the one who got you a gig with Albert King at 17,
yeah.
Right?
Right, exactly. You know, we was playing a show in Gary, and Albert used to hang out in Gary. I think he had a girlfriend that lived there at that time, and we would always see his bus park somewhere in Gary, you know what I mean? And he happened to come to our show that night, and he told my dad that he was looking for a rhythm guitar player, and I guess he liked my playing, and he asked my dad about it, and my dad thought it would be good for me, so... Bam, there I was off on the road with him, and that was an experience, man. I tell you, boy, you know, my first time.
Yeah, had you ever really traveled outside of Gary too much? But
well,
beyond,
just,
you know,
just down through the South, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I tell you, man, my first show with, I think my first show with Albert was in Detroit, actually, at this club called Mr. Kelly's.
Okay.
And then we left from there and went to New York City. And I tell you, I woke up on the bus. I was on my bunk, man. I pulled the shade back and looked at all. It was like a million people. It was like a little ants walking up and down the street. You know, I'm like, wow. You know, so it was, you know, I mean, I traveled all over the world with him, you know. And he told my dad, he said, Big Daddy, don't worry about it. I treat him like he's my son. And just about everywhere we went, Albert introduced me as his son. My dad, we was in Memphis one time, and my dad came down, and my dad's sitting right there in the audience, and Albert, he introduced me as his son. My dad said, all right, just taking it a little too far, you know. So, but it was good.
So after King, after traveling with him and playing with him for 3 years or so, you left what seems kind of like a dream job to most people, and decided to kind of strike out on your own. Why leave that atmosphere, and why do your own album?
Well, because I from the beginning, even, you know, I've always had in mind of coming back doing something with my family. You know, and I always took everything that every situation that I would get into as an experience. But I always wanted to come back and do something with my father and my brothers. You know what I mean? Because my dad had a talent, man. My dad, you know, and so I always, you know, I got a chance to learn about the studio and all of that stuff, recording and. And so I wanted to bring all of that knowledge back to my family, you know?
Yeah.
And I was blessed to be able to do that. I produced my dad's first album, Bad Situation, and all the way down to his last recordings. I mean, and
what was it like for you to kind of give your dad that gift of enabling him to record and to have that album?
That was everything to me. I mean, to see him smile and be happy and to invite his buddies over to the house and listen to his record, you know what I mean? And to go out there and tour and stuff and to see him, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. getting what he deserved, you know what I mean? That was the least I could do to pay him back for what he had passed on to me, you know what I mean?
You also are known for playing with Bob Marley and the Wailers. Can you talk a little bit about that experience, because at the time reggae wasn't really like it wasn't a thing, you know what I mean? It wasn't
a
style that people necessarily appreciated or was mainstream at all. Talk about that experience.
Well, you know, that's the one thing too that I look at, because I joined up with Peter and Bob at a time that when the music really had not become popular and we was trying to break this music through. I can recall, for instance, like with Peter Tosh, I recorded on Legalize It, which was his first solo album with him, and toured. And then we did Bush Doctor. And when we did Bush Doctor, I think that was released on Rolling Stone Records, and we was the opening act on the Rolling Stones tour in 78 on their Miss You tour. And so we're still trying to break the music through, you know, so that the music is become, you know, popular here in America, you know, especially here in America, you know, and radio was tight and stuff, man. And so I can remember being on stage, man, you know, you're talking about 80,000 people, man, just here who want to see the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger. If they invite us to come out, you know, and to be the opening act, man. You know, I can remember seeing a beer bottle go past my head, you know, you know, banana or whatever, man. I'm like, oh, God, you know, what's going on here, man? And then, I remember Mick and him pulled up, man, just, and he saw all this stuff, man. And Mick, he comes straight out on the stage and tell these people, man, like, to chill out, that we here as his guests and to learn something and check this music out. They need to feel this music. And then right after that, we went into the song that him and Peter did a duet together, this Temptation song, Keep On Walking, Don't Look Back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You remember that?
Yep.
We went in there, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, so, you know, it was, and, you know, and I remember with Bob, the Rastaman, when we recorded Rastaman Vibration. And, man, we toured like crazy. We was on the road, man, pushing. And I remember every time I stopped at an airport or somewhere, man, I would always pick up a Billboard magazine and see if we charted, you know. And I remember landing in Chicago and grabbing a Billboard magazine and looking there, and Roots Rock Reggae was like in the top 100s, man. You know, I was like, all right, you know. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing about that, too, I look at this song. In the song, it says, we're bubbling on the top 100.
Just like a mighty dread. Play on the R&B. Want all my people to sing. We're bubbling on the top 100.
It didn't really dawn on me until, like, way down the road, man, that this song was destined to be in the top 100.
Roots rock reggae, give it up for this reggae music. Play us some music.
This reggae music.
We can get off the plane in England, and on the bus ride coming into England, it seemed like everybody was wearing red, gold, and green.
I got you.
You know what I mean? They knew Bob was coming, man. It was the trip, man. And you know, got a chance to play over in Africa and places, man. I mean, you know, and you know, the beauty of that thing was to show you how conscious people are all around the world, man. And how people, the need for that type of energy in music, that type of spirit in music, man, that people wanted and needed so bad, you know, to help them, man, to deal with the reality of life, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, I really felt privileged to have been part of that. And it was some you know, hurting moments for me, man. I remember this is after I stopped playing with Bob, and I was living out in California and in the Bay Area, and he came through, and I hooked up with him and hung out with him while he was in the Bay Area. And I remember going, they played the Oakland Coliseum, and I rode with them on the tour bus to the show and back to the hotel. They had a press conference there at the Coliseum, and I noticed Bob in the middle of answering a question or something, he would lose complete thought of what he was talking about, and I'm like, and one of the guys would have to kind of pick up and finish, you know, the statement for him. And But I was with him when his foot first started aggravating him. We was in the park playing some soccer, and he had like a big bunion on the side of his foot, and mm-hmm. and he collapsed, and he went to the doctor, but he was okay. But when I saw him in Oakland, when we got back to the hotel, everybody got off the bus, and I said, "Bob, man," I asked him, "You, hey, man, you okay?" And he told me, he said, "Donald, man, I'm just tired. I said, "Bob, take a break, man." I said, "Hey, Bob, you need to take a break. You know, I mean, because, you know, see, that's the other thing about this business, too. You know, the success, man, you got so many people that's surviving off of this guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's
you
pressure.
Know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? So they're going to keep pushing your butt, man, until you can't do it, you know, if you allow them to do that. And I told Bob, I said, "Bob, man, I told him, "Man, take a break, man, you know, because I could tell something was wrong with him." And I called my friend Lee Jaffe when I arrived in New York, and he said, "Donald," he said, "Where are you, man?" I said, I'm at the airport here in New York, man." He said, "Donald, man," he said, "you got to call Bob, man. He's not doing good, man." All of this, man, it just hit me so, you know. So I called Bob, man, and he was so happy to hear my voice. He said, "Donald, man," he said, "man, you must come and check with me, man." And I knew all along that there's no way I could have kept my schedule, you know what I mean? That was the last time I talked to that brother, man. You know, Bob is here right now. You know, I mean, his spirit, you know, is very powerful. You know, so, you know, he did what he was supposed to do, and he touched a lot of people, and will touch a lot of people to come. You know, so
yeah.
You know, that's what we do. That's what we do, you know. And, you know, I rewind the tape and think about things, man, and where God has taken me. And I'm all I can do is just, you know, give him the glory and thank him. So, I mean, I physically I'm in great shape. I feel really good. Musically, I still have the desire to play, you know, and to continue to do what God put me in to do. So, that's where I'm at, girl.
Well, and you're also in Grand Rapids now. You know, you've been all around the world. You've seen all these different places, and you decide to go to Grand Rapids. What brings yeah. you to the west side of our state?
Yeah. Well, you know, for one, you know, I growing up in Gary, you know, in Chicago, you know, that area being my base, you know, Gary used to be good. When I growing up, it was all good, man. But the gangs and property, man, houses it was just too draining. It was in a negative way. And I needed a new energy. I really did. I had lost my wife, lost my mom, lost, you know, everything that it was close to me was gone. There was something very artistic about here, Grand Rapids, you know. I could feel the support of the arts, you know what I mean? I could see, you know, the paintings downtown, and it was always colorful and, you know, and just a good vibe, you know what I mean? And so I said, well, I was over in France, and I was talking with this guy, Felix, from the Blues Society in Grand Rapids, and I was asking him, I said, well, Felix, what's the music thing like? And he said, no, you know, the Blues Society is pretty strong, and he said, there's quite a few things going on, and, you know, so I packed up my car, took a few things, and just came here. and found me a place, man, and I've been loving it. It's been really, really, I love it, you know what
it
I mean?
Suits
it's like
you.
Right now I'm sitting outside on the porch, you know, and it's cool. I don't, you know, I mean, it's relaxing for me. It's peaceful for me.
A little peace after all the travels and trials, yeah, of a musician's life for you there in Grand Rapids, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the musicians, there's great musicians here, you know. I'm going to be using my rhythm station here for my guys here in Michigan Saturday at Yulee's. I really look forward to coming to Yulee's. I've heard a lot of good things about it being a really nice place, and so I'm looking forward to having a good time Saturday night.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you here in Lansing. So, yeah, that show is at Uli's House of Rock Saturday at 8 p.m. Well, Donald, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
Hey, thank you, Emmanuel.